Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, again, for this occasion that we have to be together in your house. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, Lord, that we have to bond us together, Lord, in likeness of you and your love. And Lord, your word tells us how much you love us. God, we're grateful tonight now, Lord, for this privilege to be together. And we open your word of God. Lord, we just ask the Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher. Lord, may he move among us tonight. And Lord, may we rejoice, Lord, in who we are and what you've done for us. And God, may we look forward daily, Lord, that you might lead us and guide us and direct us and help us, Lord, to be the vessel, Lord, that you would help us to be. Lord, help us to be that individual, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to you daily. Lord, as we walk and live in this world, Lord, we're looking forward one day for you to come. Lord, we look for this eastern sky to bust open, and Lord, for you to come and with a shout, and Lord, all of us will be called up with you together. Lord, but until then, we have work to do, and Lord, help us to occupy now. Lord, bless your people tonight. Lord, help their time not be wasted, Lord, for being in your house. And God, we know that we're nothing. And Lord, we just depend upon you tonight to be a blessing to these dear people. From your word, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Will we all say amen to that? We ought to give the more earnest heed to those things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? On that thought, in verse number 3, so great salvation. I'm so glad tonight that I know without any doubt I'm saved. I'm so glad tonight that I can say praise be to Jesus Christ for what he's done for me. When I think about so great salvation, great salvation is so great you can't explain it. All you can do is experience it. And when you've experienced it, you can't help but tell it. You know, I'm thankful tonight to know that we are saved people. Amen. If you're saved tonight, you're a blessed person. Amen. You're a blessed individual. Because we know the world is certainly lost indeed. And we know that God is on the throne. We know that he is in control. And we know that we, as God's people, the best is yet to come. Amen. You know, this world always offers is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. And we need to realize that tonight. But I'm so grateful tonight for so great salvation. I'm so glad tonight that you're saved. I'm saved. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We love the Lord. The Lord loves us. And we can love people. You know, I'm so glad tonight to know that. But you know, after we're saved, there's work to do, isn't there? There's something that we need to be busy doing. Have you ever thought about this? Before you got saved, did you even think about what the Christian life is going to be like when you get saved? Most of us did not. Most of us had no clue. And you don't until you experience it. You know? But once you get saved, then you begin to see what the Christian life is a little bit about. And it's a daily walk, a daily thing that we have to learn what God would have us to do, you know. But I never thought in the day in which we live today that we would be experiencing what we're experiencing as children of God. But we're going through some battles, folks. We're going through some battles. But you know, I'm so glad that the war's already been won. Amen. Jesus has won it for us, you know. He paid the sin debt for all of us, and one day we're going to rejoice with him in heaven. Now, take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Peter is writing here, and he is an apostle of Christ, of course, writing to the scattered strangers there, and he's writing in verse number 2, he says, to the elect. We find the book of Peter is dealing primarily with victory over suffering. He's speaking to God's people. Victory over suffering. And we see here in this passage of Scripture here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to be reading some verses in just a minute, about salvation. Salvation. I'm so glad again tonight I'm saved. What is salvation? Salvation means deliverance. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. If you're saved, you've been delivered, brother and sister. You've been delivered from the power and the dominion of sin. You know, I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I am being delivered from the power of sin, and praise God, one day I'll be delivered from the very presence of sin with the Lord in heaven. So salvation is a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. We see here in this passage of scriptures right here, as we look at it, we're going to see the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation by grace through faith. You know, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, well, by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. I'm thankful tonight for the grace of God. I'm thankful that He loved me. He loved you enough to die for you and I. By grace are we saved through faith. We see all this begin, the miracle of salvation, with God. I can just imagine, this is my thinking, not necessarily biblically, but I can imagine God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the beginning as they were together. And they began to try to put together this plan of salvation. And as they did that, they made a marvelous plan. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle that conviction can come to the heart of an individual. It's a miracle that it can happen to us. But it did. It does. It can. But we find here that they put the plan of salvation together. And that plan of salvation was by grace through faith, just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as a personal Savior. We see here also that the human race knew nothing about that this plan until it was revealed in the Word of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all did, but mankind never knew it until it was revealed through the Word of God. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Without the Word of God, we would have never known the plan of salvation. God has given us this that we might know that He loves us, that He died for us, and He wants us to know Him personally as our Savior. So we see here this debate of salvation. How it began? How it began? Someone said, to reject God's grace is a more serious matter than breaking God's law. To reject God's grace is a more serious matter than breaking God's law. And that's so true, folks. It really is. I'm afraid today there's a lot of people shunning the grace of God, rejecting the grace of God. We asked the people this past week on visitation, just rejected God's grace. They don't want nothing to do with God. Don't want nothing to do with God. And it should break our hearts, folks, to see people like that, because they're missing out on the best in the world. Now, let's notice in verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, elect, according, he's about Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout these towns he names, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We see the source of salvation. Salvation was chosen by God the Father. By God the Father, he says right here in verse number 2. Also, we find not only that, but also we see through sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets us apart. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart as children of God, to be children of God. And then we see in the latter part of verse number 2, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace, excuse me, unto you and peace be multiplied. We see we've been cleansed by the Son. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all included in the plan of salvation. All three are in this. We have been cleansed. We have been chosen by the Father. God knew from the foundation of the earth that I was going to accept Jesus Christ on the day that I accepted Jesus Christ. He knows everything. He knew that you were going to be saved if you're saved tonight when you got saved. He knows those that will not accept Him. He knows all things. God is sovereign. There's nothing that He don't know about you, about me, about this world. He knows all things. But we find here we were made sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, the one that comes in us when we trust Christ as our Savior to set us apart from the world. And then we'll be cleansed, of course, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, look at verses 3 through 5. We're talking about the blessings of being saved. The blessings of being saved. We see here. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Another word for lively is living. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank God our Savior lives. He's alive today. He's doing well, you see. So we see here one of the blessings of salvation, it gives us the proof of a living hope, that is the resurrected Christ. Because he lives, and we sung this song tonight, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You know, I have the opportunity of knowing that one day I'm going to be with him. So we see, first of all here, the blessing of salvation, he gives us proof. He gives us a living hope, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We see here the preeminence. We see a lasting home. A lasting home. Where is it at? It's in heaven. It's kept in heaven. Verse 4 tells us this. This is one of the blessings of salvation, folks. We have a home in heaven. We have a resurrected Christ, a living hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find in verse number 5, we find who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We find here the power. We're kept by the power of God. His power keeps us from falling. His power keeps us. We see here a lovely help, the Lord Jesus Christ. His power does that for us. Now, we notice in verse number 6, the Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Wherein you greatly rejoice. What do we rejoice in? Back up in verses 3, 4, and 5. He tells us what we rejoice in. We rejoice in the fact of being saved. In verse 3, having a home in heaven reserved. Verse number 4. And verse number 5, being kept by the power of God. We rejoice in those three things. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Aren't you glad that you're saved by you being saved? And you have a home in heaven? And you're being kept by the power of God. It's nothing that we do. We can't keep ourselves. God keeps us saved. He does it all. He saves us. He keeps us all. Therefore, we find this is a blessing of salvation here. Now, I'm saved. You're saved on the way to heaven. Now, since you've been saved, our lives from the moment we're saved until today, let's look at them. First of all, we see we have had some battles, haven't we? We've had some battles. We're having battles today in our lives. People in this church are hurting. People in this church have lost loved ones in the last 6 months, 2 years. We talk about today. People in this church have had families that's had all kinds of problems with all sickness and all kinds of things happen to all of us. All of us are going through battles in this world. Now, the question is this. We want to notice tonight how God equips us as his children as we journey this life and serve him. How does he equip us? How does he enable us to go through these things that we have to go through? Listen, it's not us that ourselves, we go through it. He has to give us the strength and help to do it. Excuse me. And how is he doing it? How is he doing it? In verse number 6, look at it. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. God is equipping us for the life of service to come daily. We walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see here, in this passage of Scripture here, in this verse here, he says, though now for a season, if need be, God is preparing in Christian living us daily. How is he preparing us? The Bible says in this verse, through manifold temptations. Trials and testings that we go through. Let me say this to you tonight. There's not a one of us that haven't gone through, maybe going through, or will go through tomorrow a trial. Every trial that I face in my life is for my good and for God's glory. Amen. I must look at it that way. If I don't, I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to be discouraged in my life. And I have to look at it this way. Now, notice something about trials. What do we learn from trials? What do we benefit from trials? First of all, we see that trials are necessary. Look in that verse. It says in verse 6, wherein you are greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be. If need be, you're in heaviness. Okay? We see here that trials are necessary. Trials are necessary in the Christian's life. Do you remember before you got saved, did you ever have any trials? Not much. You didn't think about it. You know, everything was just going along, you know, as far as life is concerned. But since I've been saved, I've been through a lot of trials, and you have too. And there's a reason for these trials that we go through. If need be, he says right here, trials are for two primary reasons. Number one is to discipline us as Christians. To discipline us. What do you mean by discipline us, Brother Keith? I mean that to discipline is to train, to instruct, and to control. You know, I have to discipline myself to read my Bible. I have to discipline myself to pray. You know, I have to discipline myself to do a lot of things that I need to do for the Lord. You have to discipline yourself to get up every morning and go to work. It's discipline in the life of a Christian through these trials. These trials are enabling us to discipline ourselves. You see, if I never had a trial, I would never learn to discipline myself. Trials are to discipline me, to help me discipline myself. Trials are also to direct us. Trials come sometimes and change our direction. What are we going to do? No, they're not. You may have a schedule today planned just like you wanted it to be, but something may happen during that day to change your plans. It may be a trial. Sometimes trials direct us. So we see that trials direct us. They point out or they guide us. Trials do. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, Peter says. Don't think it's strange. That trial in your life and my life is to discipline us and to direct us. It's not to hurt us. It's not to harm us. It's not to destroy us or defeat us. It's to help us by disciplining us and helping us by directing us. Notice also some things about trials. They are numerous. We find in this verse here, through manifold temptations, we see here they are numerous. Sometimes, like bananas, trials come in bunches, don't they? I mean, they literally do. Day by day, you know, things are happening. Slam, 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 you know? But nevertheless, they're necessary. Manifold means many colored dark days. You know, bright days, when we go through those bright days and come a trial, if the trial does not come, does not mean that we've overcome all trials, does it? Look out the next day, something's going to happen. Trials will come, you see? Because they are all different. All trials are different in our lives. So we see that trials are necessary. They're numerous. And also we see they're not easy. Look at verse number 6. It says, ye are in heaviness. In heaviness. There's trials in people's lives today that are weighing them down. They're almost defeating them. You know, the election, the decisions that were made for the last week, of course, come out Friday about what the judges decided. You know, that concerns me. It really does. It makes me heavy-hearted.
Yes.
Makes me heavy-hearted.
Yes, it does.
Because we're headed for some hard battles, folks. Yes. We're headed for some hard battles. But I want you to not forget, and me not to forget, that these trials that we're going through as God's people are going to pass. The best is yet to come for us. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just a pilgrim as I journey this life, you know? And one day, the Supreme Court and the President and whoever's left behind can have it all. I don't know, I'm not, as Brother Mays Jackson used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker.
Amen.
You know, and I believe he's coming soon. I really do. I believe he's coming soon here. I really do. But these trials are not easy. Not easy. He says here, not in heaven, but yet in heaviness. In heaviness. Trials will weigh you down, will burden you, will bother you. They cause you not to think the way you normally think. Not do what you normally do when trials come in our life. But we know also when we try to deny the painfulness of trials, it'll make us weak. It'll make us weak. We need to accept the trials as from God. And God's going to see us through them. He's going to see them through us. You know, not to deny them, but accept them as God sent. God sent. God sent. Listen, if you're God's child, God is not going to allow anything to come into your life that he doesn't ordain. Satan's not going to bring anything in your life that it hasn't been Father filtered, so to speak. God gave him permission to do it. If he didn't, he wouldn't do it to start with, you see. So it's all ordained of God. He's trying to discipline, he's trying to direct us in our life when these trials come. We also see that these trials are not everlasting. Notice it said in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. They're not everlasting. Your trials are not everlasting. They're just going to be temporary things. Someone asked a class one day, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? The person raised his hand. So what's your favorite verse, sir? It says, this soon will pass. You know, if it's a trial for the test, no matter what it is, it's going to pass. It's not going to last forever. Sometimes we may think it is, and we may go through some endurance sometime, but it's going to pass, Christian. It's going to cry. It's going to pass. So we see here, we have the battle of preparing through trials that God sends our way. That's what the first battle we have as Christians, to prepare. Be prepared for trials. Realize that God brings them to us for a good reason. Okay? Also, we see that God has his eye upon us. He knows when we've had enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that. There is no temptation taking us, but this curse is common to man. But God will what? Provide a way for escape, to escape. He always does. He always does, you see, no matter what we go through in life. So we see the battle of preparing. They're going to come. They're going to come for a season. They come for a reason, you see. They're numerous. They're necessary. They're not easy, but they're not everlasting. They're not everlasting. Also, we see also in these passages of Scripture here, the battle with realization. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The battle with realization. Why is God letting this happen to me? Have you ever said that? Anyone said that besides me? I have. Why is this thing happening to me? Only God knows. I like to know. Sometimes he does let me know, but sometimes he don't. Notice here that the trial of your faith, that's why it happens, folks, that the trial of your faith, your faith is very, very important. Your faith, the trial of your faith, the preciousness of trials in our lives as Christians is being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Did you get that, Christian? If you're going through trials in your life, those trials are more precious than the gold in this world. They're more precious to you. They're more precious to me than gold or anything wealth you could get in this world. Those trials, to you as a Christian and to me, are precious to us. They're precious to us. One thing for sure, we'll never know the value of faith unless we're tried.
That's true.
Never know the value of faith. Brother Joe has been tried. His faith has been tested and proven. He depends upon God. Others in here have been tested by losing loved ones and things in your life, sickness and health and all these things. We're all being tried. You know, but this is precious. The value of our faith, what we believe, who we trust, what we do, all this is important in our life as a Christian. It's precious. The value of our faith. You can't put a price on faith, folks. You can't put a price on it. And the trials that we go through are precious. We must experience the storm sometimes to appreciate the anchor. Who's our anchor? Tell me.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes we go through the storm. Is the anchor going to move? No, he's not going to move. He's always there. He'll never move. Sometimes we go through the storm to appreciate the anchor. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is my anchor. I can count on him. I can depend upon him always, no matter what I have to face. Our faith is more precious to us than anything in this world. Our faith. I said when I began, so great salvation. If you're saved tonight, listen, you have already done the greatest thing in this world you could ever do is be saved. Trust Christ as your personal Savior. There's nothing more precious than that. Nothing more greater than that. The most important decision you ever made in your life is to trust Christ as your Savior. Your faith. How precious is your faith to you tonight? How precious is it? I hope it's precious to you tonight. A faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. I'm glad that our faith can be trusted because our faith is tested many times. It's tested many times. Trials prove real faith, folks. Trials prove real faith. I know people today that's not in church for various reasons. They used to be in church, they're not in church now. They've been through some storms, they got hurt, something happened, they're not in church. Those people we need to pray for. Need to pray for. But all of us, except by the grace of God, could be out of church. We could all be out of church. But our anchor holds. Our anchor holds. And our faith has been tested. And we want our faith to be trusted. We want to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of trials is that we might be found unto praise and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the last part of verse number 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith. Would Jesus say, well done, to you or to me? Or will he say, you left something undone? You left something undone. Or did you finish the task? Preacher said many times he wants to finish the course. I hope you want to finish the course. I don't want to start something and not finish it, do you?
No.
It bothers me when I have to start something and stop. And can't finish it. You know, I like to finish it. Serving the Lord should be that way. Now, we talked about the preciousness of our trials, the purpose of our trials. Now, what is the product of our trials? What is the product of our trials? We see in verse number 7, it increased our faith in God. Number 1, it increased our faith in God. And number 2, it increased our love for God. Our love for God. I love God more because he's brought me through a trial. You know, if I was never sick, if I never had any trials and never had any problems in my life, I wouldn't love God like I should. But because of these trials, sometimes it enables us to love him more. We love him more. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays, folks. It really does. It really does. We talked about the battle with preparation, the battle with realization. Now, number 3, the battle with dedication. Dedication. Look in verse number 8-9. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I've never seen Jesus, have you? Never have. Except through faith. Except through faith. I long in one day to see him. Spurgeon said this, a little faith will take your soul to heaven. A little faith will take your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. You can rejoice when your faith is great. When you've been through things in life, dedicating. We need to be dedicated. We need to dedicate ourselves to God. Notice it says, whom having not seen you love. How can you love someone you've never seen? How can you love someone you've never seen? It's by faith. It's by faith, you see. We see, first of all, a practical love for Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. It moves us. It drives us. It motivates us. God's love. So we see great faith, dedicated to set apart, to make holy our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him enough to live for his glory now. Our love must motivate us to keep on working unto good works. Dedication means also not only a practical love for Christ, but also a praising life for Christ. Praise him. The one you're not seeing, you're going to praise him anyway. You're going to praise him anyway. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to praise him. Why in the world do you people go to church and praise somebody you've never seen? You know, to the world, that's foolishness, isn't it? It's like the preaching of the Word of God is to those that are lost foolishness. We come to praise somebody by faith we have seen. We've experienced a life change in our hearts because of him. Because of him. Yes, we need to praise him. Joy follows faith in Christ like a fragrance from a beautiful bouquet. A beautiful bouquet. Joy does. We can now experience some of the joy for the future glory that we're going to have there. We also see dedication is not only a practical love for Christ. It's also a praising for life of Christ. It's a preferable likeness of Christ. Do you want to be like Christ? I think you do. Most of us do. We want to strive every day to be more like him, don't we? That our lives may be an example of him. We prefer to be more like Jesus every day. Every day. We should want to look as much like Jesus as we can, because one day we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. A dedication. The battle with preparation, with realization, and with dedication. We're going through battles as Christians today. But thank God, again, we still have victory. We have victory. And no matter what the world may say, what the world may do, what the world may change, this book don't change. God's word don't change. He never has. He never will. This is the truth. We can bank upon it. We can build our lives upon it. The battles in our salvation, the battle with preparation through trials. Trials, remember, trials are precious. Trials, we see, will discipline us and direct us in our lives. Don't let them beat you down. Don't let them destroy you, defeat you. Trials are for our good. Trials are more precious than silver or gold to the Christian. They're to benefit us, folks. They're not to hurt us. They're to help us. The battle with realization, the preciousness of our trials, the preciousness of our trials. And then the battle with dedication, our great faith, a great faith. I'm glad tonight to know that we need a love for Christ. We need a practical love for Christ. I trust we love him more today than we did yesterday. We love him more. I trust that we praise him more today than we did yesterday. And I trust that we will like him more today than we did yesterday. You know, there's something about this Christian life that the world don't understand and the Christian can't explain. When God's in control, God's in charge of our life, our life is different. Our life is different from the world. And the world don't understand us. They don't understand us because we've been changed. I don't know about you, I'm glad I've been changed. I'm glad I've been saved. I thank God for salvation tonight, what he's done in my life. I only wish, as I look back, and you do too many times, things have been different in my life. But God ordained it, God planned it. So why would I want to change it? Why would I want to change it? I wish that I had a chance to live with my daddy a little longer than I did after I got saved. I got saved in April. My daddy died the next February. But that's hindsight. I thank God I got saved when I did. I thank God today that we can live for the Lord. And folks, I say this in love. I'm not convinced. The less we know about the news that's going on in this world, the better off we are. Really, we are. We have to know what's going on, but don't let it defeat you. Don't let it change your way of living. Brother Mike, I thank God for you and those young people that come out on Saturdays and go visiting. Y'all are doing a good job. You're passing out a lot of tracts. Folks, church, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to be doing the same thing. There's opportunities we can have. You say, I don't have time to visit. Let me ask you something. Do you ever go to the grocery store? Anybody here go to the grocery store? Raise your hand. Okay, you got time. You got a place to do it. You ever go to the gas station? Yes, you do. Don't make excuses for not passing out tracts and doing something for God. That's all it is. You know what an excuse is? It's a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. We all make excuses. We all can do it, folks. How precious is your faith to you? Are you glad you're saved? Huh? Amen. If you're glad you're saved, we ought to be telling people about Jesus. We ought to be telling people about Jesus. Our faith. There's nothing more precious to you or to me than my faith or your faith in Christ. Nothing more precious. If it's the most precious thing in my life, why on earth will I not share it with somebody else? Why won't I share it with somebody else? God help us, folks. We're living in the last days. Yes, we are. Well, let's keep on keeping on till Jesus comes. He may come before we get home tonight. But if he don't, we face tomorrow. Let's do something for Jesus. Let's love him, okay? Let's serve him. Let's do all we can because he's coming soon. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for so great salvation. Thank you to God for the trials you bring our way. Lord, and I know when I say that, I can expect anything. Dear God, help us when they do come to realize, Lord, they're for our good. Lord, they're to discipline us. They're to direct us. They're to help us in our lives that we might live closer for you and closer to you. Thank you, dear God, for each one that's come tonight. I pray, God, you'd have your will and way now in the service. As we close out, may you receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray.